The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 5, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on October 7th, 2013, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Prahlada Uvacha. Tat Sadhu Manye Asuryavarya Dehinam Sada Samudvigna Diyam Asat Grahat Hitva Atmapatam Griham Andakupam Vanam Gata Yat Harim Ashrayeta. Shri Prahlada Uvacha. Tat Sadhu Manye Suryavarya Dehinam. Tat Sadhu Manya Suryavarya Dehinam. Sada Samudvigna Diyam Asat Grahat. Sada Samudvigna Diyam Asat Grahat. Itvatma patang griham andakupang. Griha andakupang vanam gato yad dharamashrayeta. Shri Prahlada Uvacha. Tat sadhu manye suryavarya dehinam. Sada samudvigna diyam asat grahat. Idvatma patang griham andakupang. Banangato yadharamashrayeta. Shri Prahlada Uvacha. Prahlad Maharaj replied, Tat, that, sadhu, very good, or the best part of life, manye, I think, asuryavarya, O king of the asuras, dehinam, of persons who have accepted the material body, sada, always, samudvigna, full of anxieties, diyam, whose intelligence, asat grahat, because of accepting the temporary body, or bodily relations, as real, thinking I am this body, and everything belonging to this body is mine. Hitva, giving up. Atmapatam, the place where spiritual culture or self-realization is stopped. Griham, the bodily concept of life or household life. Andakupam, which is nothing but a blind well where there is no water. But one the nest, not but one nonetheless searches for water. Vanam, to the forest. Gata, going. Yat, which. Harim, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ashrayeta, may take shelter of. Prahlad Maharaj replied, O best of the Asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there is no water, but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest, vana. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavana, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Hiranyakashipu thought that Prahlad, being nothing but a small boy with no actual experience, might reply with something pleasing, but nothing practical. Prahlad Maharaj, however, being an exalted devotee, had acquired all the qualities of education. Yashasti bhaktir bhagavat kinchana savairaganashtatra samastate sara harava bhaktasya kulo mahanguna matorane nasati dadhauyato bihi. One who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna consistently manifests all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualifications because he is engaged by mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. Bhagavatam 5.18.12. So-called educated philosophers and scientists who are simply on the mental platform cannot distinguish between what is actually sat, eternal, and what is asat, temporary. The Vedic injunction is asato majyotir gama. Everyone should give up the platform of temporary existence and approach the eternal platform. The soul is eternal, and topics concerning the eternal soul are actually knowledge. Elsewhere it is said, apashyatam atma tattvam griheshu griham edinam, Bhagavatam 2.12. Those who are attached to the bodily conception of the self and who thus stick to life as a grihastha or a householder on the platform of material sense enjoyment cannot see the welfare of the eternal soul. Prahlad Maharaj confirmed this by saying that if one wants success in life, he should immediately understand from the right sources what his self-interest is and how he should mold his life in spiritual consciousness. One should understand himself to be part and parcel of Krishna and thus completely take shelter of his lotus feet for guaranteed spiritual success. Everyone in the material world is in the bodily conception, struggling hard for existence, life after life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommended that to stop this material condition of life, repeated birth and death, one should go to the forest, vana. In the varnashram system, one first becomes a brahmachari, then a grihastha, a vanaprastha, and finally a sannyasi. Going to the forest means accepting vanaprastha life, which is between grihastha life and sannyas. As confirmed in the Vishnu Purana 3.8.9, Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Parappaman Vishnu Aradyate. By accepting the institution of Varna and Ashram, one can very easily elevate himself to the platform of worshipping Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, if one remains in the bodily conception, one must rot within this material world and his life will be a failure. Society must have divisions of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and for spiritual advancement, one must gradually develop as a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasi. Prahlad Maharaj recommended that his father accept Vanaprastha life because as a Grihastha, he was becoming increasingly demoniac due to bodily attachment. Prahlad recommended to his father that accepting vanaprastha life would be better than going deeper and deeper into griham andhakupam, the blind well of life as a grihastha. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore invite all the elderly persons of the world to come to Vrindavan and stay there in retired life, making advancement in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Vande ham Shri Guru, Shri Jatapada Kamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunitam Vidantam Sajivam, Sadaitam Sabadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Badan Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakam Vidamscha, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vrile, Shingati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gadavani Pachalini Nivishesh Shunyavadi Paschati Deshitanane. So Prabhupada has invited all elderly persons to come to Vrindavan in the whole world, so it's natural all these buildings will come up to accommodate them. What can you say? I was thinking it's much nicer like it used to be in the 80s when we came here. The Parikrama Bar was just a remote pathway out in the forest, and now it's the middle of the city, with concrete and cars roaming, going up and down, beep, 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 beep. It used to be just a remote pathway. Actually, all of Parikrama path was just a dirt path, even just a few years ago. Even on my website, there's a picture of me on that. It's a dirt path. Now it's a road. It's actually connected to the Jamuna Expressway, and the big trucks are coming. So it's natural if Prabhupada invited all the elderly persons of the world to come and live in Vrindavan, the place is going to develop. It's natural. So I don't feel so bad now that I see Prabhupada invited everyone to come. All these different places, you know, where you can get flats. It's just a growing, ever-expanding number because everybody's following Prabhupada's instruction. So many people want to come to Vrindavan. So besides that, one point that jumped out of the page was this. Prabhupada says that how spiritual success is guaranteed. Yes, one should understand himself to be part and parcel of Krishna, and thus completely take shelter of his lotus feet for guaranteed spiritual success. Now, one may say, what's the good of spiritual success? It's not tangible. Is it money in the bank? Is it some position in my company? Or is it some position in the government? Why? Who cares about spiritual success? You see, one may think, argue like that. But actually, spiritual success is a success. Material success is a shadow of actual success. It's only a shadow. Because this whole material existence will be wound up by the inhalation of Mahavishnu. You see? Completely blown down. Yashaika Nishrasita Kalam Vadambalam Yajivanti Loma Vilaja Jagananata. In this way, Vishnur Mahans Saisha Kala Vishesho Govinda Madipurisham Tamaham Vajami. It is stated, Brahmana, the lords of the mundane world, appearing from the pores of hair of Mahavishnu, remain alive only as long as the duration of one exhalation of Mahavishnu. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whose subjective personality Mahavishnu is a portion of the portion. So even that person who inhales and destroys all the Brahmas and all the Indras and all the prime ministers and all the countries and all the planets, even that person is simply a subjective portion of a portion of the transcendental flute player who's standing on the bank of the Jamuna. Is it? So just imagine what is actual spiritual success now is to regain your relationship with that supreme person whose portion of a portion is manifesting all the Brahmas and planets by inhaling and exhaling and then destroying them by inhaling. So now it makes a little more sense if you consider Lord Brahma's teaching. You see. It makes a little more sense that this material success is just, it's like the will-o'-the-wisp, an apparition, an illusion in the swamp. You see. It's just really an apparition, an illusion. No matter how much success you have here, I mean, where are all the big people now? You know? Where have they all gone, the biggies? Where is Napoleon? In Paris, there's a statue. Napoleon is France, and France is Napoleon. The statue is there, where, still there, but where is Napoleon, you see? And perhaps he's some rat running around the Eiffel Tower now, you see? Prabhupada cited the example of Nehru, the first prime minister of modern-day India, Pandit Nehru, they called him, because he's in a Brahmin family, so-called Brahmin. They called him Pandit Nehru. He wasn't at all a pundit. In fact, he would insist every day to have a fresh rose brought from the UK. Huh? You tell me. He used to be a customer in Prabhupada's shop in Allahabad, the Prayag Pharmacy. And he would insist on, he didn't want any Indian, he wanted all the Western medicines. He didn't want anything Indian. Indian is inferior, I want the Western thing. So he was the first Prime Minister of India. And he got his desire fulfilled. According to one astrologer, he became a dog in his next life in Europe, and actually in Scandinavia. Became a Scandinavian dog. One of two dogs, actually, in the family, to share the house with another dog. You see? So he got his desire fulfilled. He wanted Western, he became a dog in the West. At least he wasn't a dog in India. He became a dog in the West. That was his desire to become, for Western, he became a dog in the West. You see? So what is this big success of being a big, big president of the United States, or a big, big, you know, founder of Apple computers, you know, or a big, big, you know, founder of Microsoft, or a big, big, you know, anything in the middle. Even if you're Brahmachi. Even if you go all the way to being Lord Brahma himself, Lord of the whole material universe, what is your position? Is it? It's nothing. Nothing. Is it? Absolutely nothing. Compared to one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna by becoming the servant of 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 the Vaishnava. You see? So, Prabhupada, they're talking, that's so that when Prabhupada says, talks about spiritual success being guaranteed, where can you get guarantee of success? Even if you take spiritual success and material success to be the same, even if you're, you know, even if you took them to be the same thing, on the same level, still, spiritual success is guaranteed and material success is never guaranteed. Even if they're on the same level, still, spiritual success is better. One may say, well, I want to become a millionaire. Well, is it guaranteed to become a millionaire? No. One says, well, I want to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Can it be guaranteed? Yes. It can be guaranteed that person will become a pure devotee of Krishna. Simply, you have to follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada given here. Understand you are part and parcel of Krishna and completely take shelter of his lotus feet. Those two things. There's two things. There's the understanding and then the practical application of the understanding. This relates back to what we just experienced in Jaipur, you see. There's Madan Mohan. I mean, actually, Karoli for Madan Mohan. There's Govinda and there's Gopinath. So, to understand that you're the part and parcel of Krishna, that is by the mercy of Madan Mohan. That's the first thing. The second one is to then take complete shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. That is by the mercy of Gopinath. And then Govinda. To achieve... Govinda, yeah, excuse me, Govinda. And then to actually achieve complete success in life, that is Gopinath. So these are the three deities, three Vrindavan deities that help us. We can remember these deities, Madan Mohan, Govindaji, and Gopinathji. These help us to understand we are part and parcel of Krishna, to fully take shelter of his lotus feet, and then to achieve the ultimate success of Krishna Prema, these three deities. So that's one type of success mentioned by Prabhupada here. And now the other position is, if one remains in the bodily conception, one must rot in this material world and his life will be a failure. So, the spiritual conception of life leads to guaranteed success, and the material conception of life guarantees failure. Therefore, we have to take training from the Vedic wisdom. We have to take training from the spiritual master. We have to take training from realized devotees of the Lord. Because with their help, you see, we can get out of our present fallen condition in which we're lusty, we're greedy, we're angry, we're maddened, we're illusioned and envious. We take advantage of these personalities, you see, and these great teachings, the Vedic teachings. If we follow the path of the great Mahajanas, here we are learning directly from Prahlad Maharaj. He's one of the great Mahajanas. He's listed there in the Bhagavatam. Svayambhur Nadada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Balirvaya Sakirviyam. They are listed. Svayambhur, that's Lord Brahma. Svayambhur Nadadvani Shambhu, Lord Shiva. Svayambhur Nadada Shambhu Kumara, the four Kumaras, Kumara Kapila, Kapila Dev, Kumara Kapilo Manu, Svayambhuva Manu, the great Manu, you see. Prahlado, Prahlad Maharaj, Janak Maharaj, grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Sukadev Goswami, and Yamaraj. So if we will follow this pathway of the Mahajanas, the Mahajana Marga, you see, then our success is guaranteed. If you follow the pathway of those who are rotting in this material world, you will rot in this material world. And if you follow the pathway of those who are achieving the topmost perfection by the mercy of Gopinath Ji, achieving pure love of God, if you will follow these personalities, then you will achieve the same perfection. A man, it is sometimes said, a man is known by the company he keeps. It can also be said, a man becomes success or failure, depending on the company that he keeps. You keep the association of non-devotees very near and dear in your heart. You're doomed to rot in this material existence. And if you take the association of the Vaishnavas to be very, very, they're very, very near and dear to you. These are your shelter, you see. Then you become successful. So one asked me, well, what if I'm doing business, you know, and I have to keep good relations with all these non-devotees? You know, how do I do that as a devotee? You know, my job or my business, I have to have good relationships with business partners or, you know, supervisors or whatever in my position. How do I do that as a devotee? And I explained, it's coming out in tomorrow's thought for the day. And this gentleman, Samir, he asked me this question. I explained to him that a devotee has good relationships with everybody. You see, he's friendly to everyone. That's his nature. He's very friendly. He has very nice relationships with everyone, devotees, non-devotees, everyone. That's a devotee. Within his heart, though, he has a different mood towards the devotee and the non-devotee. The devotees are his shelter. And the non-devotees, he always tries to give them shelter and help them advance on the path of Krishna consciousness. You see? Just like our Gurudas, he had one associate, business associate employee, and made him a devotee. Damodar, you see. Dinas used to be, I knew he was Dinas, an employee of, and now he's Damodar Das, you see. So even your superiors, you can at least, but you can't really influence them like an employee can influence an employee or a teacher, just like our Murari Krishna Prabhu in Timishwar. He's a professor of computer science in the university. Big, big professor. Very senior professor there. Been there for many, many years. probably decades. He's a very senior computer science professor. He makes it to students and the devotees. But what if you're talking about your superiors, your supervisor in the office and that kind of stuff, which is a different category? The same principle. Be a very exemplary, be a very good person, a very honest, friendly person. And people will be attracted to the qualities. You can always invite them to the temple, give them a book, you know, sometimes mention about Krishna to them. So we, even our superiors, we can try to influence them. You see?
Prahlad Das is a good example of that.
Okay.
Prahlad in Mauritius is a good example.
Oh, yeah. There's a, in Mauritius, there's a, our, my disciple Prahlad, he works for a government agency called Enterprise. Their agency is in charge of getting as much customers for Mauritian exports as possible to bring cash into the country. They solicit customers all over the world from Mauritian air exports. This is called the Enterprise Department of the Mauritian government. And every time I go to Mauritius, I'm invited to give a seminar to them, to this government agency, to all the whole department assembles, and I give a seminar to them on spiritual life. And they very much appreciate it. They give me a huge garland, a whole big basket of fruit every time. I think VIP treatment. They have sent a chauffeur with the company, the department limousine, to pick us up, drive us all the way from our ashram to the government office. It's a big thing. And every time, we go twice a year there to Enterprise, and they very much appreciate it. So Prahlad, even though this is his boss, he's influenced his boss to have me come there every time and speak to them about, you know, how to be successful, stress-free success in the office, you know. A different topic we give that will be relevant to them. I also did a seminar like that one time at a corporation, an IT corporation in Pune. Stress-less success. So, you know, we have a lot, as devotees, we have a lot to offer to everybody, to devotees and non-devotees alike. We have a lot to offer. Just like we have a devotee, Nittai Gaurasundara, he's a psychiatrist in Tennessee. And so he can give psychiatric guidance and treatment to people from very, very good perspective as a devotee, because he knows the actual cause of psychiatric difficulties. The mundane psychiatrists, they don't really know. In fact, a lot of them go crazy themselves. The statistics are very high of psychiatrists who commit suicide, because dealing with so many crazy nuts all the time, they go crazy themselves. But here's a psychiatrist who doesn't go crazy. Every day he chants his japa, they have a nice temple, deity worship at home, nice prasadam, they do preaching programs. We went there, they have a nice namahut program in his house. And he's a psychiatrist. So it's not that you have to, you know, a devotee has to live in Vrindavan, he can't go out and earn a livelihood somewhere in Europe or America or something like that. He can't function in the material world, no. A devotee can function. He can function very nicely, better than anyone. A devotee is better equipped to function in the material world than any non-devotee is equipped to function in the material world. Because he actually sees it for what it is, the energy of Krishna. A non-devotee is bewildered, ultimately bewildered by the material existence. He may have some success manipulating it, but ultimately he will be a failure in dealing with the material nature. Because he doesn't understand what it is, where it's coming from, what its utility is. He has no knowledge of that whatsoever. Absolutely none. Maybe a little bit, if he's pious, you see. But still, he doesn't understand perfectly the science unless he has taken shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. So, but the devotees, they are in a position of actual success, actual happiness in life. Because they have followed the guidelines of this great Acharya, Prahlad Maharaj. And therefore they achieve the success. So anything else you'd like to add, Devaji?
I can think about it.
Huh?
I can think about
Okay.
it.
Any questions? Yeah.
Gurudev, how to understand properly these statements that just you mentioned, that success is guaranteed, if at the same time we know that anything that is related to spiritual success is just causeless mercy?
That means causeless mercy is guaranteed.
So, but how causeless mercy can be guaranteed? How can causeless mercy can be guaranteed if Krishna says that he is not obliged to do anything? And
the guarantee is in the Bhagavad Gita, yayatamang prapadyante tang sataibu jamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. If you will surrender to Krishna, there's an if on them. It's not that any Tom, Dick, or Harry can just be a nonsense, go on being a nonsense and expect to become liberated because he came to Vrindavan and took a bath in Jamuna. It's not like that. If one actually surrenders to Krishna, then it's guaranteed. You understand? Krishna reciprocates. If you give yourself to... success means Krishna gives himself to you. Now he's your personal associate. You see? That is success. So Krishna guarantees, if you give yourself to me, I'll give myself to you. That he guarantees. But if you don't give yourself to Krishna, you're not going to get the success. Krishna's reciprocation is guaranteed. What you will do or will not do, that's up to you.
Isn't it the other way?
Huh?
The success is already there, but you need
to... said to grab it. Your success is already there, you just have to grab it. You're already a pure devotee. You're already an eternal associate of Krishna and his transcendental pastimes. Now you just got to get back to where you once belonged. Stop trying to be what you're not. This material body, you see. Stop trying to be the center of the universe. This tree be the humble servant of that person who's the center of the universe, the center of all existence.
You can explain, if the cow is there, the milk is there.
Mm.
You need to know how to milk.
Ah.
And you have to have the proper pot.
Yeah. It's got to be a good cowherd boy. The milk is there in the udder right now. If you milk properly, you guarantee you'll get the milk. You don't know how to milk the cow.
Even if you milk it, you have to have the proper pot.
So otherwise it'll be spilled on the ground. Yeah, you have to be a good milker, have a good pot. The udder is utterly delightful. It's full of milk. Now you have to have the pot and you have to milk it. You see? You're guaranteed to have the milk. Is already there. You just have to milk it. So your success is already there. You're already a pure devotee of Krishna. You're already eternally liberated soul. But now you're dreaming that you're this material body. That's all. In this illusion that you are this material body, you say, I am this body. We have to kick out this illusion and realize, I have nothing to do with this. I'm just a vehicle, that's all. It's just a vehicle, it's not me. I'm sitting inside right now, I'm using it. It's like now I'm giving this class, I'm doing some gestures with my hands here. You know, I'm moving forward, I'm leaning back. Actually, the body is not me. I'm the passenger, the driver sitting, passenger and the driver sitting in this car, using it in Krishna's service, you see. And when this body is no longer useful, and Krishna feels it's no longer useful for me, he'll say, okay, Sankarshan Das, now here you go. Here, I'll take you somewhere else now. Now you can serve in another place, another capacity.
Another way to understand is this, that also, like the cow is there, milk is there, you milk it, and there is a time limit for you. You have to do it within the time limit. If you finish the time, it's gone, everything. The duration of life is the time limit. So we have to grab all the mercy and within that time. And if you fail it, you lost it.
There's a countdown, there's a timer, you know. Chick, 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 tick, 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 tick. And you have to surrender before you... ding, before it hits the timer ends. You have to surrender. Well, if not, you have to come back and try again your next life. Before the timer is going down, you know, it hits, comes up, ting. You have to have surrendered before it hits that point, otherwise you take breath again. You get another chance. Krishna is very kind. So the idea is we have to fully surrender now. My dear Lord, here I am trying to lord over the material world, trying to enjoy my tongue, trying to enjoy sleeping, eating, mating, and defending, trying to enjoy meditating, contemplating material sense gratification. Please, Krishna, pull me out of this illusion. Please, Krishna, save me from this illusion. And let me have no thought, no desire, have nothing in my heart except to serve you purely in all times, places, and circumstances for all eternity, with not even the slightest tinge of wanting something for myself in return. Then we have to be in that mood, and we just have to beg for it, you know, because we're not. Right now, we're trying to enjoy, you see. We've been trying to enjoy for millions of lifetimes. That's our, honestly speaking, that's where we're at right now. We're trying to enjoy this material world. So we have to just beg for the mercy. I need help, Krishna. I really do. I'm really in bad shape. Please help me. Please help me. Please help me.
Why do we beg for the mercy?
Huh?
Why do we beg for the mercy? Mercy is already there.
Actually, we're taught to beg for the mercy, Devi. Hare Krishna is begging for the mercy.
Yeah, that you take it. And the mercy is coming. You take the chanting seriously, the mercy is coming. You don't have to beg.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Hare Krishna chanting is begging for the mercy.
Yes, but you have gotten that mercy already now. Now we have to chant.
Even such a person will go on chanting.
Yes, that's my point. You
will feel, even the fully self-realized soul will feel that I am lacking Krishna consciousness, and he will beg for it, he will beg for it, he will beg for it.
But if we go on chanting, with all the rectification and putting in the nice proper part, I think mercy is already there.
Actually, the mercy is in the begging itself. The begging is... Prabhupada presented himself as a beggar, okay? That means begging. He says, I am an insignificant beggar. That is the proper position for a devotee, to be in the mood of begging for the mercy. But that begging for the mercy, that is the mercy. So in that sense, I acknowledge what you're saying, but we shouldn't think that it's wrong to beg for the mercy. The thing is, the mercy is already there. The beg itself, the beg is the mercy, actually. In other words, I'm begging for Krishna. And that begging is Krishna. So I've already got Krishna. The ends and the means are the same. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, begging for Krishna, but Krishna is already there. So in that sense, I agree with you.
Yes.
So the begging has to, begging mood has to continue.
Yeah,
never stop.
Beg, if you beg, but when the mercy is coming, you don't take it. You do it your own way. What is the point?
Right, and that's not really begging. It's just like a show on the lips. It's superficial. It's like my temple president, and I was a young devotee, brand new recruit. He asked me to do some service. I was a little hesitant to do it, he said, "Well, what is this? You're begging Krishna for the service, and it comes, and now you're done taking it." He pointed out my fault. I understood. Yes, he is right. Yeah, I'm right. I'm begging Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, please give me some service. And the service comes, oh no, thank you, I'd rather do something else. You see. Anything else? Okay. As a family man, how can I inspire other family members into Krishna consciousness? You have to become a pure devotee, that's all. You become very, very pure. You have to radiate Krishna bhakti. You have to become like a sun god in your family, radiating Krishna consciousness by dint of your strict adherence to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and the spiritual master. By doing this, you'll become like a magnet and you can attract them to Krishna consciousness. Your enthusiasm will be contagious. Even if they are unknowingly blaspheming this process, well, if they don't really, you have to. If they're blaspheming this process, you should defend the process. You defeat, even if they're unknowingly, you have to defeat it. You have to be strong enough to defeat them. If they're saying things against this process, knowingly or unknowingly, you have to say, but no, that's wrong. You see, which is, I respect you very much, I love you as my wife or my daughter or my son, but this is wrong. I have to point out to you that what you said is not correct understanding. According to our great Vaishnava authorities, the great Vedic authorities who guided the Vedic civilization for millions of years, according to these authorities, what you have said is wrong. This is under the influence of modern-day materialists, you're thinking this way, but kindly understand the modern-day materialists are wrong, and this the correct understanding comes from the Acharyas. In this way, you have to guide them. Anything else you'd like to add to that?
His wife is not problem. She's chanting japa, right?
No, Mataji.
No? The other day she said.
No, not on the beats. Maybe she's chanting in her mind, but not on the beats.
Okay, so next question. I understand that a guru, spiritual master, has to be respected as much as God. How do I answer non-devotees? The act like bowing with the head on the ground whenever they see guru, even on roads.
What's that question?
Actually, I remember one lady, she was talking with Prabhupada. One mother of the, this is the early days of ISKCON, she saw the devotees are bowing down whenever Prabhupada walks in the room, you know. She was saying, they're treating you like you're God. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is the system. I also treat my spiritual master like God. So you shouldn't be intimidated by your own doubts, your own hesitations. See, the thing is, if you're convinced, you can convince others. If you have a hard time convincing others, that means you're lacking conviction that this is the proper thing to do. It's your own lack of conviction. And they say something and that, you know, you're weak because you don't have the conviction yourself. But Prabhupada wasn't weakened when that lady said, you know, they're treating you like you're God. He was saying, he wouldn't think, oh yeah, maybe there's something wrong. Prabhupada didn't. He said, yes, that is the system. You see, immediately, that is the system. Yes, that's right, they are, and that's the system. That's what I do to my guru, that's what he does to his guru, and that is the system. You can explain, this is the system coming down from Krishna himself. He has ordered that his representative should be treated as good as him. Prabhupada told us, actually, not us, but I was with Prabhupada one time in West Virginia on his Vyas Puja day, and many reporters had been invited, and they came from big places like Newsweek magazine, the New York Times was there, and so Prabhupada was, they witnessed the Vyas Puja celebration, and we're all bowing down and worshiping Prabhupada as God, and they were probably going, wow, what's going on here? You know, and Prabhupada could understand their minds. And he explained that just like in the British rule in period of India, there was the viceroy who represented the British crown. He was staying here in India, you see. So whenever the viceroy would come, he'd be given a royal reception just like he is the king himself. Not that he is the king, but he represents the king. So he's given all the honor and respect. Whatever gift he receives, he sends it to London. He doesn't keep it. So yes, we are worshipping the spiritual master as on the order of Krishna himself. We are worshipping the spiritual master as good as God, but he doesn't think that he's God. He's just simply accepting this on behalf of Krishna, on the order of Krishna, accepting our worship and love and channeling it onto Krishna. He doesn't think that he's worthy of being bowed down to on the street. But this is his duty to accept our obeisances, and it's our duty to give him our obeisances according to the instructions of Krishna, who is the supreme authority. And this way you can explain to them.
So verse in the Bhagavatam, you should know that verse, how Krishna is saying that.
What is that verse, Devi? Mm-hmm. Or look it up if you don't remember it. Acharya mam vijaniyam.
Acharya mam vijaniyam.
One should know the acharity of my very self.
Don't be envious of him. Namachasuyata. Sarva deva maya guru.
So if you see Krishna walking down the street, what would you do? Would you bow down to Krishna? And same thing with the spiritual master.
11, 7, 27.
Anything else? Mm-hmm.
I want to ask about the statement that the pure devotee is dear to everyone.
And pure devotee is
dear to everyone.
Everyone, and everyone is dear to him. What can help us to achieve this position?
Can you summarize from it?
He says that it is said that pure devotee is dear to everybody and everybody is dear to him.
Yeah.
So how to achieve that position?
Yes, by preaching. The more you preach, preach means giving kindness to others. You see? And the more you preach, the more you give loving kindness to others, the more they will be inclined to reciprocate and give love and love you also. So the more you give love to others, the more your feelings of love for them will increase. Just like I'm your spiritual master, and I'm trying to always give loving kindness to all of you, my disciples. So the more I do that, the more my feelings of love towards you increase, and the more your feelings of love to me increase. So the same thing for any preacher. You cultivate people in Krishna consciousness, you give them your kindness, your love, and that way they feel love towards you, and the bond of love becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. Does that answer your question?
That sometimes preacher is preaching in one's land, they beat him up.
Yeah, sometimes he is. Even one of my godbrothers was murdered. I remember. It's pretty shocking, but he was murdered. He was murdered. He went to Knoxville, Tennessee. They opened a preaching center there, and some what we call rednecks in the U.S. really low-class type people. They came by and they threw a firebomb and broke. He was sleeping in the room and they threw a firebomb to the window. It broke the glass. It came in and he was burned to death. So, you know, simple young brahmachari, Brajadana, that's brahmachari. My dear godbrother, he was killed by the demons just for trying to preach. All his only crime was he was trying to tell people about Krishna to make them happy. And they murdered him. So that happens sometimes. The preacher is not appreciated.
Like
Lord Jesus was nailed to a cross, but Janai Prabhu was burned by a firebomb.
Haridas Thakur was beaten in 21 market.
I'm waiting for you. Haridas Thakur was beaten in 22 marketplaces. So sometimes devotees are persecuted for their attempt to spread Krishna consciousness. But that makes them more dear to the Lord also. When the Lord sees, oh, this devotee has done so much to serve me that now even he's given up his life in his attempt to glorify me, therefore that devotee becomes very, very, very dear to Krishna. You see? So there's no loss. You don't become dear to the people you're trying to preach, you'll become more dear to Krishna. So you're not going to lose. Even if they spit in your face, like one man spat in my face one time, you see. Or they pull a gun on you. I said, a gun in my head. Luckily, he didn't pull the trigger. He had a gun and pulled them on. One time, someone pulled a gun on me, you know. And I approached them with some for preaching. They pulled a gun on me and put it in my head, you know. Luckily he didn't pull the trigger. Sometimes I was arrested also. They didn't like that I was distributing Bhakti Gadad magazine in their town. They put me in jail and put me for 36 hours. I was in jail. So the temple president bailed me out. So sometimes they don't appreciate it, you know. But I had a wonderful realization when I was in the jail. I wrote an essay called "Which Side of the Bars Are You On?" In the jail, there's two sides of the bars. Those who are in America or English, we say "behind the bars" means you're in jail. You're behind the bars, right? But I was saying, this actually behind the bars is a matter of perspective. These karmis were saying that I was behind the bars, but I was saying that they were behind the bars. See, I was on the liberated side of the bars. They were the prisoners. I was the liberated person, and they were the ones who were behind the bars. I was seeing. I wrote that essay when I was. And they gave me a cell all by myself. That was nice. Didn't have to share it with anybody. I had my own private cell. And I didn't take any food from the jail. I didn't take anything. I had some Sankirtan candy. We used to give out candy on Sankirtan. Prabhupada said we could offer candy to the deities and then use it as a little, you know, icebreaker. And we were going out preaching. We gave somebody a piece of candy, you know, as an icebreaker. Prabhupada authorized. He offered karmi-made candy to the deities and then go out and use it for preaching. So I had a whole bunch of this, and that's what I lived on for those 36 hours. I finished up, I chanted my rounds on the candy. I would chant on my fingers 108, and then I'd move one piece of candy on this side of the bed. That was my japa counter. I chanted my rounds by the pieces of candy. Every time you can chant, just like as Brahmins, we chant to 10 on the right hand. You know how to count to 10. So you just count to 10 times and then do 8 more, and then you got one round, see. And then after that, you move the candy to the other side of the bunk and do it again. And then that way I counted my rounds and I ate the candy. I ate my counter beads. So I had a great time in the jail, actually. Of course, I was happy to be bailed out. We went back like a week later to the judge and tried to get it taken off. You know, we had to pay some fine, a misdemeanor. So sometimes they don't appreciate. They kill you or they put you in jail. They spit in your face. You know, pull a gun in your head. Sometimes they don't appreciate you, but the more you're willing to undergo difficulties and austerities for pushing forward this movement, the more you become recognized by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when you're recognized by him, who cares if you're recognized by the non-devotees or not? Who cares if you're recognized, the dogs recognize you or not? You know, when Krishna recognizes you. They're just like dogs. The karmis are just like dogs, barking dogs. Ruff, ruff, ruff. What are you doing? You're preaching in my... What are you doing preaching here in my area? Ruff, you know. Get out, get out, get out. You know. So who cares if the dogs don't appreciate? If Krishna is appreciating, that's what counts. Anything else? Actually, we're over time a bit. Anything else? Yeah.
I want to ask about the balance. I have heard that Prabhupada say that every year the devotee should go to Indian holy places. What should be the balance to stay in the West and preach and to come to India to break?
How much time one should spend in India and how much time one spends for preaching? Whatever, Prabhupada never made any hard and fast rule. He liked devotees to come and get spiritually enlivened in Vrindavan. He didn't want him to stay here either. He wanted him to go back and preach. There's no hard and fast rule, really. You can always ask your spiritual master about your particular situation. We come here a couple of times a year because it's convenient, and we're in Europe. It's not coming from America is a big trip. You see, you got to fly, you know, an overnight flight from the U.S., another overnight flight to India. It's quite a long haul to get here from the U.S. From Europe, is it like for us? Europe is it like a coming to India from Europe for us? It's just like, you know, a little short. We see it as a short flight. It's not a big deal. To come here from Europe is like, wow. It's only a few time zones away. I mean, if you look at the difference in the time zone between here and Riga, it's only 4 hours, isn't it?
2.5 hours.
You're practically in Europe just by being here. It's not that far. It's just a little hop, you know. You think, well, we're in Europe, we might as well just hop another 2.5 time zones over to India. It's no big deal, you know.
So
2.5
no
hours,
jet
huh?
Lag also.
Huh?
No jet lag.
Yeah, the jet lag is not so much of an issue. You come from the U.S., it's like, well, it's 12-hour difference, you know, like, wow. But from Europe, it's not a big deal. Since we come to Europe twice a year, we think, well, why not come to Vraj twice a year? You have to see what's practical for your own, according to your own service and your own spiritual needs and your preaching. If you wanted to come here twice a year to serve us and go parikramas, I would have no objection. If you wanted to come twice a year, I would have no objection. Any disciple wants to come, when I won't say, what are you doing coming to Vrindavan so much? I would never say. But I know it may not be practical, it may not be affordable for some, or in terms of their work schedule, their business operation. I understand that. I understand their heart is in Vrindavan, even if they're not here physically.
After all this, who would like to come back again?
Who's it?
I'm saying, after all this, what they have seen and come,
we've only seen a little tiny fraction of a fraction of a fraction of what's here in Vrajadam. There's so many places we haven't even gone to yet. We can take you to Kamyavan, we can take you to Gokul, to Varshana, where Krishna ate the dirt, Mother Yasoda chastised him, she saw the whole universe in his mouth. We can go to that place. There's so many places we can go and talk and go deep, deep, deep into Krishna Smaranam and Leela Smaranam and just, get more and more deeply absorbed in this mood of the Holy Dham, which is not different from Krishna. The Krishna and his Dham are one and the same. His name, his fame, his Dham, his personality, it's all the same. So the more you're attached to Krishna's Dham, the more you're attached to Krishna.
So my point is, who is eager?
They're all eager, that's why they're here.
Who's eager to come next time? Because everybody is leaving soon.
I'm sure they'd all be eager to come, but they had their practical necessities as well. Their job or their business, they have to balance it out with their practical necessities, which is understandable. I don't blame someone if they can't. You're not my disciple because you don't come to Vrindavan every time I'm here. It's not like them. I know their hearts are in Vrindavan, even if they're not here. They can't be here for practical reasons. My whole point is they should feel welcome whenever they would like to come. When we're here, they're welcome to come. It's not that if you don't come, you're in Maya. No. We understand there's the practical necessities of, running a radio station or running a farm or whatever you're doing. We understand. Not that everybody can be a vanaprastha. Some have their grihastha duties or their vaishya duties. Even though you're Brahmins, you're acting like you're protecting cows, so you have a duty to those cows. You can't just neglect the cows and go rolling the dirt of Vrindavan and let the cows suffer. You have to take care of your cows. So everything has to be properly balanced. You got to take care of your radio station, keep them strong and vibrant, competing, defeating the competition, winning out in the cow. Everything has to go on.
Now, his cows are taken care. They are not suffering.
I'm just saying, it's up to you all. And I honor and respect whatever you all understand you need to do according to your situation. But you're always welcome. We love having you here. It's great. It's so nice to be with all you here in Vrindavan. We love it. It's like, wow, this is really the... We'll be together in Goloka Vrindavan too. When we leave our bodies, we'll all be back together in Krishna's pastimes in the original Vrindavan. This is an expansion of the original Vrindavan.
As long as they follow.
So the taste we're getting here now, being in Vrindavan, the same taste we can have multiplied millions and billions of times in Goloka Vrindavan, we leave our bodies. So now we're getting, it's a training ground for our original, being back in our original pastimes with Krishna. In the spiritual world, we will still recognize each other. It's not that we'll just merge into some rasa and forget our relationships as guru, disciple. All these relationships we have right now will be remembered in the spiritual world. Our bodies will be different, and we'll be in different rasas as gopis or gopas or flutes or lotus flowers or whatever we may be, parents, servants, friends. Whatever relationships we actually have in our original sarupas, they'll be fully realized at the same time. these relationships we have now as guru, disciple, god brothers, god sisters, and all this, it will also be maintained in the spiritual world. Prabhupada said we'll have another ISKCON there'll be another ISKCON in the spiritual world. He said everybody will go except for Mr. Nair. You know Mr. Nair? Yeah. He's the one who tried to steal cheetahs in Mumbai. Of course, even Mr. Nair will eventually get back after a long, long time for all the offenses he committed. Even Mr. Nair, he greatly offended Rasa Bihari and other deities in Mumbai. He greatly offended them, greatly offended Prabhupada and the devotees. He'll suffer for a long, long time in the material world, Mr. Nair. But eventually even he will go back. He'll be back in the spiritual world eventually as well. Anything else? Okay, all right.
What if a particular deity attracts you more than others? How to deal with that properly?
Get a nice photograph of that deity and keep it with you all the time. It's like I have my strongest attraction is that poster of Radha Govinda. That's my strongest attraction, more than any actual three-dimensional deity. You know, I have it on Thought for the Day. Somebody said, why don't you change it? We don't like this picture. They complain. Why do you have that same old picture? Can't you put something that looks good there instead? I mean, they're like ripping my heart apart. It's like a knife going in my heart here and there. To me, that's the most dear, because when I was a young spiritual seeker back in Denver, Colorado in 1968, desperately seeking spiritual enlightenment, I found that photograph, that Brijbasi, it's a Brijbasi print, and it changed my life. That I began my relationship with Radha and Krishna with that poster, and that's the most dear. The most dear. So just keep a nice photograph of that deity. Put him on your altar. What deity is it?
I will tell you.
Not Durga. Not Durga.
No. Among the deities we saw.
In Jaipur?
I will tell you.
That's all right.
Doesn't want to meet you here also. Wow.
Yeah, that's good. He doesn't want to cheapen his feeling by making it public. That's nice.
But the photograph of it? But the photograph of that deity?
Probably video, not photograph.
Oh, okay.
Huh?
He got a video.
Well, that's so many photographs. Anything else? Yeah.
I want to ask about this, because I have some doubts about... I have heard that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is great devotee Grihastha. Why sometimes the Grihastha life become like a prison for the soul?
And the Kupa.
Why does grihastha life become a prison for the soul? If one does not give up the mentality of sense enjoyment, then household life is a dark, dark, dark well with no water and you can never get out. If one, just like one boy, he's a brahmachari, he wanted to get married, and he told his fiance, you know, we don't have to follow the regulative principle. It's not important. That means he's going into a dark well, you see. But if one thinks, no, we must follow the regulated principles, then it's strictly follow Prabhupada's instructions. No illicit sex means sex is only for procreation, otherwise we practice brahmachari life, you see. If one is strict in that way, then one's household life is as good as sannyas life. Even better than sannyas. Sometimes it is. Because the grihastha is protected. And the sannyasi may think, oh, I can have some relationship with a woman. He might become disturbed. The sannyasi already has a relationship. And if he's fixed in brahmachari life in that relationship, then his position is very, very strong position in Krishna consciousness. So many sannyasis have fallen down, you see, being attracted by women. But the grihastha yard, he has a woman who's protecting him from being attracted by women. The wife is called a fortress. Now, I'm not recommending that you should get married. Because instead of being a fortress, she can be a temptress also. And that what happens to a lot of householders. Instead of a fortress, she becomes a temptress. One becomes allured by the physical features of one's wife and loses one's Krishna consciousness. But if one is actually... So staying brahmachari is actually the best thing. But if one can enter into household life and stay as a brahmachari, you see, then his position is also as good as being a brahmachari. So one has to understand sense enjoyment doesn't bring happiness. Sense enjoyment is always a cause of distress. Prabhupada said, licit or illicit sex, either one, it's troublesome. So one has to be in the mood of a brahmachari. Brahmachari, grihastha brahmachari, vanaprastha brahmachari, or sannyasa brahmachari. That is the liberated position, you see. Brahmachari is the liberated position. So if one can remain as brahmachari, that is the ideal position. You're already in a liberated position. Now stay in a liberated position. Yeah.
So when you say grihastha, it is not under kupa.
That's correct. But under kupa, grihastha means a one who takes it as a ashram. The one who doesn't, he's not called a grihastha, he's called grihamedi. A grihastha is not following the regulated principles. It's actually not a grihastha. He's grihamedi. Grihastha means strictly following the initiation vows. Then he is actual grihastha. Otherwise he's grihamedi, not grihastha.
No, that's everybody who is married is a grihastha. No. Grihamedi and grihastha.
Any other questions?
So this principle of sense enjoyment, does it apply to every ashram?
I said?
This principle of sense enjoyment, like, it's applied to every ashram, not only to grihastha.
The principle of sense enjoyment applies to all the ashrams, not only to grihastha.
Sense enjoyment is only for keeping body and soul together. And beyond that, it's illicit. And that is the universal principle for everyone. Grihastha has the facility, he can bring children in the world, but that's, he has no and no license for any extra sense enjoyment. Although in L.A., Prabhupada said the householders, there's in one purport that the Mahapashadam, the deities can be given to the householders. One thing, probably. It's in his books. Instead of the sannyasis having the rich Mahapashara, the householders can
actually
take it.
That's
there's actually, the, that's one stated in one book. In the books, some mention like.
It should not be for sannyasis.
But don't take advantage of it. Everyone should be austere. Actually, everyone can have a sweet every now and then. It's not that you can't take sweets or something like that.
Right.
Prabhupada said a sweet every now and then. It's not that I live on sweets. Yes. A sweet every now and then. It's not fanatical. Just like that brahmachari one time in New Orleans at the Rathiyatra. I was a brahmachari. Look at my brahmachari days. I had a nice Simply Wonderful in my hand, getting ready to pop it in the mouth. And he walked up to me and said, "Stop! That's a dhoti whitener." You know, get to whiten your dhoti, take your saffron dhoti and whiten it out. That sweet is a dhoti whitener. So this is ridiculous. I'm going to honor this sweet. I remained brahmachari for 14 years. He got married right away.
He was not cautious enough. Huh? He didn't follow his own advice.
Yeah, he couldn't follow his own advice. He may have not. He may have avoided the sweets of that Ratha Yatra by getting his buzz by telling other brahmacharis not to take sweets. But he himself couldn't maintain brahmachari life because he was attachment and aversion are two sides of the same coin.
Actually,
if you're overly attached, you're overly averse. In either position, you're materially attached. The proper position is neutral between attachment and aversion. I'm not running after the women, nor do I hate the women, you see. I see them as my mother, I'm neutral to them. I love them as my mothers, not that I'm attracted to them as some boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, or I think, oh, they're disgusting, and like that. No, it's a no attachment, no aversion. That is the proper position.
Right, but that also doesn't, no aversion to sweets, but brahmachari life should not be eating, sannyasi should not be eating too much rich food.
They have one has to follow the rules of one's ashram. Not that I... Actually, even a grahastha should not make friends, be a buddy with any woman except for his wife. I remember what one of my students on the e-course, I get all kinds of stuff in the emails, you can imagine. They're able to tell somebody what's going on. It doesn't really know who they are, what city they live in. I get all kinds of reports. Some woman... Her husband never even knew about it, but she... No, actually, another example is better. Two people who were practicing Krishna consciousness, they got married. So the man was having some trouble, a little bit of trouble in his relationship. So there was another woman who's also practicing Krishna consciousness. She's a co-worker in the office. So... Instead of just working out his problems with his wife, between him and his wife, he would tell the other woman about the relationship. And she was giving him advice on how to have a good relationship with his wife. Completely bogus thing. In the West, we think it's okay, but in India, anyone who understands Vedic culture understands you don't do that. Your relationship with your wife is sanctified. It's you and your wife. It's not even... Even if you're really strict, you won't even go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist because it's just between you and your wife, and that's the proper understanding. You just work it out between the two of you. If you have that commitment, not that you have to go to a third party even. Of course, if you in ISKCON nowadays, you could go to your temple president, your Guru Maharaj or something like that. It's okay. Sing your devotee. But it's not really... It's not the ideal standard. The ideal standard is you just, the two of you, you're dedicated to each other, you're dedicated to the relationship, whatever problems are, you work it out between the two of you. But anyway, in this case, he was going to another bhaktan, who was regular, all three regulars of the temple. He married one bhaktan. But he's taking advice from the other bhaktan, and eventually, you know, what you can understand what happened. He got closer and closer to this one, and the one he was married to became more and more distant. He ended up having an illicit affair with this one, and the whole relation, his whole marriage was completely ruined by that. So, that relationship, husbands should not go outside for any relation. Even a married man should not associate with other women. A brahmachari is... His vision towards other women is the same as the sannyasis and the brahmacharis. They're my mothers, that's all. The only exception is he has that one woman who is, he sees as Papa said, as goddess, Devi. Sees her as a goddess. And she sees him as Prabhu or Lord, Papa said. But other than that, all women, they're simply mothers. Just like the brahmachari. He has the same vision as a brahmachari and a sannyasi, except for all women except for his wife. That's a proper mood for a grihastha. And that way he can have a happy married life.
It's 9:30.
9:30.
Don't say it doesn't stop.
So we will stop here. Cooperating with my wife.
Cooperating? It's 9:30. Where's the cooperation?
We will stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
His great Srimad Sankarsana Dattaya Maharaj Ki Jai.